So today we are very much blessed with the purport of Srila Prabhupada to Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, chapter 28, text number 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadanot palabetan grav Ushmanang pratyarshati Asit sanvigna hridaya Yutta brashta mrigiyata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the Savior of the Three Worlds. While she was serving her husband by massaging his legs, she could feel that his feet were no longer warm and could thus understand that he had already passed from the body. She felt great anxiety upon being left alone. Bereft of her husband's company, she felt exactly as the deer feels upon being separated from its mate. Purport. As soon as the circulation of blood and air within the body stops, it is to be understood that the soul within the body has left. The stoppage of the blood circulation is perceived when the hands and feet lose heat. One tests whether a body is alive or not by feeling the heart's palpitations and the coldness of the feet and hands. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyat Yadeshatarvine. Well, it's going to come to us too. We're all in the queue for death. Doesn't sound very cheerful, does it? No, as long as one identifies with the body, it's a very frightening situation to be in the queue for death. It's like being in a slaughterhouse, just waiting for your turn. This material world is a slaughterhouse. Try to understand, this material world is a slaughterhouse, and we're all in the queue, waiting for our turn to be slaughtered. That's a reality. If you think otherwise, you're dreaming. Unless you realize your spiritual identity. And then it's just a bad dream. And you're going to wake up from it. So we have our choice which reality we want to live in. The reality of the death queue, or the reality of the eternal celebration of transcendental bliss. We have our choice. You get to do which one you want. You can be in the death queue or you can be in the liberation queue. Say, well, I'd like to be in the liberation queue, but I still want to have my sense gratification. Sorry. That doesn't work that way. Yeah, give me my sense gratification, and I want to be in the liberation queue. Nope. Can't do it. To qualify for the liberation queue, you have to give up material sense gratification. That's the qualification to be in the liberation queue. As long as we are attached to material sense gratification, we are in the slaughterhouse queue, and there's no way to escape it. You understand? No way. So the trick is how to convince your mind to give up its long-seated attachment to material sense gratification. The trick is how to get the mind out of the hallucination that material sense gratification brings satisfaction. That's the trick of becoming Krishna conscious. How to get the mind free from its infatuation with material sense gratification. You can hear about it all day. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Anasham Sunja Ki Jai. We can hear about it all day, but unless we can practically manifest it, mere theoretical knowledge will not be sufficient to liberate us from this material existence. This is the difference between Gyan and Vigyan. Gyan means you have that theoretical understanding, you understand? And Vigyan means you are practically situated in the realization of that theory in practice. So, we have to come from the platform of Gyan into the platform of Vigyan. That is called Krishna consciousness. How is that done? That is the process of sadhana bhakti, beginning with shraddha. I have faith in this process because I see the devotees. How they are living in transcendental ecstasy. How they are living in a different realm of consciousness than what I'm experiencing. You see. One has some faith. You see, that's how it begins. You have some faith by seeing the advanced devotees of the Lord who are relishing the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And you think, well, I'd like to associate with those devotees. I mean, they've got something that I do not have, and I want that thing. I am greedy to get that thing they have that I do not have. That is called Krishna consciousness. In other words, one must become greedy to get Krishna consciousness. So you find people who have Krishna consciousness, who are solidly fixed pakka Vaishnavas. You find solidly fixed devotees and you associate. You hear, you inquire, you serve in this way, you see. By associating with the advanced devotees, just by that association, you're carried along. Just like I see here in India, you see it commonly. In America, it's totally illegal, but in India, it's okay. There's a bus or a truck going down the highway, you see. And some bicycle rider, he has to go 30 kilometers on his bicycle, but he thinks, I'm going to go the easy way. I'm just going to grab a hold of this bus or this truck and zoom. Is he? And he gets to his destination very easily by sangha. Bus or truck sangha, you see. So we're like we neophytes are like the bicycle riders. And the advanced devotees, they're like the trucks and the buses. We just have to grab a hold of advanced devotee association, you see. and just go for the ride, really. You just got to hang on and don't let go. So if you in that way will grab onto senior Vaishnava association, Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru, advanced devotees, if you'll just grab onto that advanced association and don't let go, you'll advance very, very nicely in Krishna consciousness. Let's see. So that stage of holding on to advanced association, that stage is called Sadhu Sangha. And where does Sadhu Sangha lead? The next stage, Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means, well, we have a saying in English, monkey see, monkey do. Well, they put on tilak, they put on dhoti, sari, they get up early, they observe Mangal Arti, they chant japa, they give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. They're doing all these things, and by doing these things, they are fixed in a very exalted state of consciousness known as Paramahamsa consciousness, or Krishna consciousness. So let me do it too. So I will also do. I will get those beads, you know, and I will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I see they only eat Krishna Prasadam. Well, I will also take up that rut. From now on, I will only take Krishna Prasad and nothing but Krishna Prasad. They don't mess around with sex life. They only use it for procreation. Otherwise, they practice strict brahmachari. You see? Because sex life and self-realization go ill together. So one gives up illicit sex life. Meat eating, intoxication, gambling. One follows the pathway of the great acharyas, acharya marga. By following this pathway, doing what the acharyas do, doing what Rupa Goswami says we should do in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu summarized in the Nectar of Devotion by our most glorious, wonderful Srila Prabhupada. If one will follow this pathway, the Sadhana Bhakti Marg, then one will continue advancing on this pathway. The next stage is called Anartanavritti, and that is a very, very, very advanced stage. That means when all the dirt is completely cleaned out of your heart. I don't know if any of us would claim we're there yet, but we're trying to get there. The Anartanavritti stage. There's no lust, there's no anger, there's no greed, there's no madness, there's no illusion, there's no envy on the subtle plane. There's no sinful activities in the gross plane. Anartanavritti. Completely cleansed of all the contamination which has gone with that Atma through millions and billions of lifetimes. Soul cleansing. Anartanavritti. Once the devotee reaches that stage, then from there he goes to a wonderful stage called Nishtha, solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. He becomes a real Majjhamadikari at that point. You see, he can't be deviated by anything from Krishna consciousness. Nothing will ever deviate him. He'll never fall down. You see, Nishtha. And then from Nishtha, the most wonderful thing happens. Everything becomes very sweet. You've given up sense gratification. Your only interest is Krishna and Krishna's service. So now the most wonderful, 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 thrilling, exciting, nectarian, splendorous taste manifests within your heart. Ruchi. Wow. We're not there yet, but we can just to hear about it. It's amazing. Rupa Goswami describes Ruchi in the Vidagdha Madhava. Prabhupada very much appreciated this verse. In fact, he told George Harrison to make a song with this verse and popularize it. tunde tandavandi vriting vitanate tundavali labdige. Karna krodha kadamadi gatayate kunarvidaya spriham. Cheta prangana sangani vijayate svendriyanam kritim. No jane janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varna dvai. Translation. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, Krishna dances on my tongue. And when Krishna is dancing on my tongue, by his dancing so much nectar is oozing out that what my one little mouth can capture, that oceans and oceans of nectar emanating, oozing out from his lotus name. Therefore, my dear Lord, please give me millions of mouths. And when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar that my two little ears can't even begin to capture hardly any of it. Therefore, I need millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, zillions of ears. You understand the point? To at least get a little tiny infinitesimal fraction of that unlimited ocean of nectar available in the two syllables Krishna. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm not like a yogi trying to keep my mind fixed. Not like a yogi. My mind is totally, absolutely fixed in Krishna consciousness without any deviation. And I'm paralyzed, as Bhaktivinoda begs for the day when he can be paralyzed by the name in his song, Kabe Habi Bolo Se Dinamara. I become paralyzed by the great power of the name, stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So that's Ruchi. We can pray for the day when we actually get there. As we're battling it off, trying to get free of those anarthas. You see. But this is very encouraging for us to hear about this Ruchi stage. And that's only, there's more stages beyond that. From Ruchi, then you go to Vasakti. If you're getting that much nectar from the name, you can imagine you would be totally, absolutely addicted, absolutely, completely in love with Krishna. There's no question of anyone. I know, but like Gauranga says, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me, he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's a sakti. And Prabhupada explains in the Nardi Bhakta Sutra that is where pure love of God begins, when you get to the Asakti stage. In the Asakti stage, you actually realize what your sarup is, Prabhupada explains. If you're battling it out in Artha Nivritti and you think you figured out what is your rasa, you're a sahaja, Prabhu. Don't try to jump prematurely. Only when one reaches the stage of Asakti can you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. And then from the Asakti stage, one then engages in loving exchange with Krishna according to one's identity. That's called bhava stage. And then by engaging according to one's identity, then one becomes completely, absolutely purified and achieves the prema stage. So this is the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. This is the process that makes us deathless, gets us out of the funeral queue, and gets us into the liberation queue. You see, it's such a wonderful process. It's universal. We can go anywhere. We can chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna. Any part of the world. China, America, Russia. Just like I go to Russia every year. And it doesn't matter where you are. You see, go to any country, in any place. You don't have to. Actually, Vrindavan is available anywhere. It's a matter of your consciousness. Wherever there is Krishna consciousness, that place Krishna becomes manifest, Krishna's pastimes become manifest, Krishna's Dham becomes manifest wherever there is the mood of pure bhakti. So if you're enlivened by being in Vrindavan Dham, and we all are very enlivened here, then why ever leave? Just carry Vrindavan with you. Take it back to Delhi. Take it to Mumbai. Take it to New York. Take it to Kaliningrad or wherever you may go, you see. Moscow, Sydney, Austin, wherever you go, take Vrindavan with you. Dubai, wherever you go, take Vrindavan with you by this mood of pure devotion. Well, what can I do, Prabhu? I don't have a mood of pure devotion. I'm a sense gratifier. What can I do? Well, beg for pure bhakti. My dear Lord, I know that only by bhakti can I be happy and satisfied. But now, unfortunately, my Lord, I'm addicted to sense gratification. What can I do? Krishna, please help me. Please, please, Krishna, help me. So that begging for pure bhakti, sincerely, that brings you to the consciousness of pure bhakti. So what is the best means of begging for pure bhakti? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. This Hare Krishna chanting means begging for pure bhakti. Do you think Krishna will not reciprocate if we beg sincerely for pure bhakti? And say, well, I don't care that you're begging for pure bhakti. I have too many other things to do with Radharani. You think Krishna will neglect? You think Radharani will neglect? Chanting Hare Krishna, we're first calling for Radharani's mercy. Even if Krishna neglects, Radharani will not neglect. And she will make sure that Krishna does not neglect. Srila Prabhupada told us in London on the day of Radhastami, he said that if you will pray to Radharani, my dear mother, please tell to me, please tell your Krishna about me. Then Prabhupada explains that Radharani will then say, oh my dear Krishna, just see, here is this devotee who is a better devotee than me. If you beg Radharani to tell about you to Krishna, she will endorse that you are a better devotee than her. She will tell Krishna, this is a Vaishnava better than me. Do you think Krishna will be interested to see who is this Vaishnava better than Radharani? Oh, my dear Radharani, there is a devotee better than you. Let's see who is this devotee better than you. You see, Krishna becomes very eager. With Radharani's recommendation, Krishna becomes very, very, very eager. Who is this devotee better than you, my dear Radhika? So that is the mercy of Radharani. She takes a humble position. She puts forward those who beg for her mercy as being more exalted than her. She recommends them to Krishna in this way. So how do you get that mercy of Radharani? You just say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. See how many we got? We got Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, we got two. Let's see, there's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This, yeah. So the name Hare is there many, many times. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Here we have eight Hares in the Maha Mantra. Eight times. Every time, every bead, you are begging Mother Radharani's mercy 8 times. So this Hare Krishna mantra is recommended as the most powerful mantra. Previously they chanted Om and they chanted Gayatri in previous yugas. But in this Kali Yuga, the Shastra says, you will not find anywhere in the Vedic literatures any mantra, any technique, any system for self-realization more powerful than chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So why do we chant Hare Krishna? Because we're the Hare Krishna people and it's a cult? Do you chant Hare Krishna because you're a member of the Hare Krishna cult? No. We'll chant anything. We'll chant alligator, if that's what the Vedas recommend. Alligator, alligator, crocodile, alligator. We'll chant anything. But because the Vedas say that this is the most powerful method for self-realization in this age, therefore we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. And because we're so much into this Hare Krishna mantra, they call us the Hare Krishnas. We're known as the Hare Krishnas, or the Krishnas sometimes, they shorten it even more. So, it's a glorious movement, this Hare Krishna movement. Very glorious movement. It is Lord Chaitanya's movement. It began 500 years ago. Of course, it began originally. Actually, it has no origin. If you really want to get technical about it, this Hare Krishna movement has no beginning point in history. It's an eternal movement. When did the Hare Krishna movement start? Actually, it never started. It's always been going on. In the beginning of the universe, who was the first Hare Krishna? Lord Brahma. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram chintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. That's right. So the first Hare Krishna in this universe was Brahmaji. Our movement goes way back. In this universe, our movement, Hare Krishna movement, has been going on for 155 trillion years. That's the history of our movement in this universe. But it existed in previous universal manifestations ad infinitum. So it's a timeless movement. And the beauty of joining a timeless movement is that you become timeless. You become eternal. As I was coming to class, I happened to run into an old friend of mine, who's the head of the MVT, Dorje Chandra Prabhu. And I said, "Well, how are you doing, Prabhu?" And we said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, getting older," he told me. I said, "What do you mean, getting older? You're chanting Hare Krishna. You are not getting older. By chanting Hare Krishna, you're getting younger. Getting older is the body. You're not the body." By chanting, anyone who takes seriously this path of Krishna Bhakti, they're not getting older. They're getting younger with every mantra. Krishna is Navayovanam. And the devotees also are Navayovanam. They are qualitatively one with Krishna. Krishna is Navayovanam and his devotees are also Navayovanam. They're ever fresh youths. So the more we awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness, the more we live in a state of youthfulness. Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious man, even 80 years old, he can work with the energy of a young man. And Prabhupada proved that. He would go on those morning walks and the young boys, 20 in their 20s, could hardly keep up with him. He's an 80-year-old man, and they could hardly keep up with Prabhupada on the morning walk. They're huffing and puffing, trying to keep up with Prabhupada, you see. So it's a fact, by fully embracing this timeless science of Krishna consciousness, you yourself become timeless, you become eternal. Nobody in the material world can offer anything that competes with this. Max Factor is trying to fake it and make you look young with their makeup. It's a makeup company in the U.S. Cosmetic company in the U.S. Max Factor Cosmetics. You can pretend like you're young. Make yourself look like you're young by makeup. But actually, it's fake. Let's see. only by awakening your Krishna consciousness can you actually achieve your eternal youthful nature. No one else can do it. These religionists, what are they doing? They're eating meat. They think they're going to the kingdom of God by eating meat. Isn't it? They thank God for their meat. They're very pious. Every time they sit down to have meat, they thank God for the meat. But actually, the law of karma will act. What is that law? Mangsa khadati iti mangsa. If I am the animal that I am now eating, he will become an animal in the future and he will eat me. He will become a human being and eat me. The animal that I am now eating, he will become a human, I'll become an animal and he'll eat me. Mangsa khadati iti mangsa. And that word mamsa, what does that mean? Mam, me, sa, he. Mamsa. Literally, it's he, me. I'm going to have some he, me today. He eating me. In the next life, it's reversed. Sa, mam. He, me. He eating me. So if you eat meat, that meat will eat you. You become eaten by what you eat, unless you take prasadam. And then you become an eternal associate of the Lord in his amazing pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are amazing. I mean, they're really amazing if you think about it. I mean, who can do what Krishna can do? Angani yasha sakalendriya vittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti charam jaganti. Young. Absolutely amazing. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Now, in this world, the guys are attracted by girls, and the girls are attracted by guys. Of course, there's some exceptions to that nowadays. Generally, that's... Sometimes it's guys attracted to guys and girls attracted to girls. But the principle is we are sexually enamored in this material world. But show me an object of your sexual desire who can manifest all the universes from any one of their limbs. If you want to be attracted to an amazing body that can manifest all the universes from any one of his limbs, then just become attracted to that amazing boy, Krishna. Just become amazing. Just become attracted to that amazing boy. Smedam bangi tarayabachi tam sachi vishtir nadrishtim vangshinasta kishalayam ujvalam chantakena Govandakyam haritongam mitaha keshi tripadakante ma prakshasthavayadi sake bandhu stangisti rangaha. You know that verse by Rupa Goswami? Yeah. One gopi girl is advising her gopi girlfriend, my dear gopi girlfriend, whatever you do, do not go tonight to Keshigat. On this beautiful moonlit night of the Sharad season, whatever you do, don't you dare go down to Keshigat and see the smiling face of that boy Govinda. Placing his flute to his lips, which are just like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body bending in three places is shining very, very bright in the moonlight. So my dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any attraction whatsoever for society, friendship, and love in this world, do not go, do not go, do not go to Keshigat. So what do you think that gopi did? She went back to her house and took care of her kids and husband after hearing them? No way. She made a beeline straight for Keshigam. So, do you think only that gopi girl could have to see Krishna? If you only happen to be here 5,000 years ago, you could see Krishna. We can't see him now. Of course, he's there in the deity, but what about seeing Krishna directly with your own eyes? Is that possible? The pure devotees can see him. So is it possible we can become pure devotees who can see Krishna? That's my question. You know what Prabhupada personally ordered me in one letter? His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, ordered me to become qualified to see Krishna directly face to face. Wow. Talk about a tall order. Prabhupada, you ordered me to do it. I haven't done it yet, but I'm praying for the mercy that someday soon I can actually see Krishna. You see, Prabhupada ordered me. He ordered me to become qualified to directly see Krishna face to face. So I'm very fond of one prayer. I think everyone's familiar. Kadachit kalindi tata vipina sangita kalabo mudabirinari vadana kamalasvadamadupa Ramashambhu Brahma Marapati Ganesh Sarchitapado Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. Sometimes in great happiness, Lord Jagannath makes a loud concert with his flute in the groves on the bank of the Jamuna. He is like a bumblebee who is relishing the beautiful lotus-like faces of the cowherd damsels of Dwarka? No. The cowherd damsels of Vraj. And great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Ganesh are always absorbed in worshipping his divine lotus feet. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava Tume. May that Lord Jagannath become visible to me. The very first time I came into the presence of Srila Prabhupada, I actually came and I was right there standing in front of Prabhupada. You know the first word I heard come out of his mouth? Jagannath. Prabhupada said, Jagannatha Swami, Nagana Gatabhami, Bhava Tume. My dear Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. That's how he translated it that day in the Ratha Yatra in San Francisco in 1971. So, how do you get to see Krishna? By gatecrashing the spiritual world? No. You have to act in such a way, in such a pure, totally devoted way to Guru and Krishna, that Krishna will want to come and reveal himself to you. You can't force your way in. You have to qualify yourself by the mood of pure devotional service. That's what we have to do. So, I heard the nine o'clock bells. I think have done their thing. So, does anybody have any questions? Maharaj, my dear godbrother, His Holiness Prabhupada Vrata Damodar
Swami.
It's a wonderful name.
The beginning is Bhakti.
Bhakti. Bhakti Prabhupada Vrata Damodar Maharaja Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Okay.
At the beginning of the lecture, thank you for a very cohesive, very nice class. At the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned one thing that I didn't quite understand, that you were going through different stages of advancement in devotional service, and you mentioned anartham nivritti.
Yeah.
And you really stressed, you said this is a very, very advanced stage when all the anarthas are
That's
cleared.
Right. That's right.
What I thought was that anartha nivritti is a continuous process that continues even all the ways up till prema, and it's the process of having the anarthas removed, sometimes gradually, rather than a point where it's already a done thing.
Both are actually true. Both conceptions are true. Because there is some further purification that happens after anartha nivritti. That's why there's more stages. So, more or less, you can say, the anarthas are completely gone. But there's obviously some more purification. That's why you have ruchi, asakti, bhava, and praying. There's further purification that is happening. But you can say, for the most part, the anarthas are gone, but there's some more subtle purification that happens after that stage. So I accept your point, and actually both concepts are true. They are in harmony with each other, both concepts. Okay, next question. Yes, Prabhu. Okay.
You mentioned that when one gets purified, there's no more the influence of lust, anger, greed, madness, and illusion and envy. What is exactly the difference between madness and illusion?
I'm a little deaf, so I'm going to have him tell me. Yes, it is described in Prabhupada's books. There is moha and there's mada. Moha is illusion and mada is madness. So the question is, what is the difference between madness and illusion? That's a very nice question you've asked me. I don't remember reading any specific statements from Prabhupada to answer this question, so I'm going to try to rely on the Super Soul to help me. That there is a distinction in English as well as in Sanskrit is a fact. So there has to be some distinction. So how will we distinguish between them? Certainly somebody, there are many similarities. If one is mad, he's illusion. And if illusion, he's mad. So why Prabhupada would make that distinction between madness and illusion? Why the Vedic wisdom makes this distinction? How can we understand a distinction that will help us to become free from madness and free from illusion? We can take help from another description by Srila Prabhupada that of the four defects of the conditioned soul. He has imperfect senses, therefore he has the tendency to be illusion. Therefore he makes mistakes, and in spite of all of this he says, I'm a big PhD, learned Nobel laureate, therefore he's a cheater. So here we see a distinction between imperfect senses and the tendency to be illusioned. So let us use that to help us understand what is the distinction between being mad and being illusioned. So, what is madness? Madness is to identify with the imperfect senses. If you think that you're your body, Prabhu, you're mad. You're insane, you're crazy. And because of that madness, that insanity of identifying with your material body, therefore you have been illusioned by so many things. You will think that because you have the madness of bodily consciousness, you don't have it, but I'm using it as an example. Because one has the madness of bodily consciousness, therefore they suffer the illusion that by gratifying the material senses, they can be happy. So there's how you can distinguish. There's one way you can distinguish between madness and illusion. Mada and moha. Yeah. Now I have some written questions have come here. At anartha nivritti, you said that all nasty things are cleared up, so naturally one will become fully blissful. Is anartha nivritti the same as Brahmabhuta Prasanatma stage? There's certainly some similarities there. They are in many ways the same. Let's see, number two, you describe that nothing can deviate a devotee to give up Krishna consciousness once he's attained to the nishtha stage. But we hear practitioners falling down from even the bhava stage, how to understand this. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Prabhupada says both things. So he does say that one cannot fall down from But then they do sometimes. So as a rule, yes. But there are exceptions. You described about being in the mood of begging for pure bhakti. The problem is we become so absorbed in our surrounding situation that we start relishing or enjoying where we are, and this mood no longer remains the mood of bhakti. So how to remain in that mood continually? You have to beat your mind with shoes. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, in the morning, 100 times. Give that mind a good beating every morning. And every evening you get out the broomstick, leave the shoes in the shoe rack, go to the broom closet, get out that broom and beat your mind with the broomstick 100 times. And this way you have to bring your mind under control, not to try to enjoy. You see a beautiful girl, wow, look at that beautiful girl over there. Nope. Stop it, nip it right in the bud. You see. You just got to be very, you have to be like a chokidar. Not like the one that MBT that sleeps every morning. I mean, I actually went up to him this morning and I was testing him. I said, he was sitting there asleep. I said, if I was a terrorist coming in with a machine gun, you wouldn't be stopping me. He stepped sleeping. I said it again. If I was a terrorist with a machine gun, you wouldn't be stopping me. Again, he kept sleeping. Finally, on the fourth time, he woke up. So well, you can't be like that kind of chokidars over our minds. We have to be alert chokidars, keeping a watch for the influence of Maya. As soon as you become interested in that pretty little brahmacharini over there, it's time to put a nip on him. Or that handsome brahmachari over there, time to put it on the nip. Hey, nip it right there. I can only be satisfied by Krishna and nothing but Krishna. We have to have absolute conviction of this, and you have to beat your mind with shoes every time the mind tries to think something differently. So in this way. So I think we'll stop here, but I did want to announce I'm giving 3 more lectures today in the Balaram Hall. It's called Transcendental Engineering. And the first one is at 10:30 on the Art of Dying. And then there's 2 more that follow, but it's posted on the board there in front of the Balaram Hall. Everybody's invited to come and learn how to be a professional transcendental engineer in Krishna consciousness. So we thank you all very much for your wonderful participation in Prabhupada's movement. May you all be blessed with the nectar of Krishna prema. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.